Hello, and welcome to the teaching of BTE, the Bible Translation and Exegesis Ministry serving the Central Coast of California. We feel strongly about handling the Word of God with accuracy, and that's why we approach the Scriptures from the starting point of the original languages. Our hope is to provide you with sound Bible study that will help you to grow in the wisdom and knowledge of our Lord. For a complete list of our resources or to just let us know how we are doing, go to bteministries.org.
Today we're taking what will be the final part of Colossians chapter 3, verse 18. Wives, be continually submitting yourselves to your own husbands as it is proper or fit in the Lord. Our emphasis has been from the beginning that we are studying things that are right in the Lord. Once we're saved, we become citizens of the kingdom of heaven and participants in God's kingdom. He has his own culture. He has his own way of doing things. We're used to the ways of the world. We're used to our own ways. But once he saves us, we become part of his culture and part of his ways. In the section that we're in verses 18 to 23, describes for us God's order of this completed life. That is, I have been made complete in Christ. I am now part of his kingdom, but he has an order in which he wants me to function, and it is his order. That's the emphasis. It's his order, not mine. It's his order, not yours. And as we studied last week, the important text from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 to 15, about women teachers in the church, that verse and others have been read, presented, and twisted to fit the culture of the world and not the culture that is of Christ. We know that the reason why it says, wives, be continually submitting to your own husbands, we saw in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. It's because the sin nature of the woman is going to want to overcome and control the man. When God says, I created man to be the head. So God says, your desire is going to be to control your husband, but he will rule over you. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we studied how that Paul says, because of this reason, in the church, and in that chapter he also said, there is no other teaching in the church. This is it. That God is the head of Christ, Christ is the head of man is the head of woman. Because of the sin nature and the sin problem. So last week when we took 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 to 15 about women teaching in the church, Paul says, I do not permit a woman to teach nor to have the authority of man. Didn't say teach men or teach over men, but she cannot teach in the church nor take the authority, literally authentes, the authenticity of men, his origin. Man was created for a certain reason. 1 Timothy chapter 2 started off with that reason that men are to do the praying in the public assembly. The men are to do the leading. That's why God created man, the male gender. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 9 to 15, he goes on to say, I do not permit a woman to teach nor to have the authority of man for two reasons. Adam was first formed and then afterwards Eve. In other words, and he explained that in 1 Corinthians 11, that man was not created for woman, but the woman was created for the man. He was created first, and God saw that he had no helper to share with him in what God had him to do. So he took the rib from out of man and made woman. And in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, man was not taken from woman, woman was taken from man. Even though man comes through woman, the woman originally came out of man. Secondly, in verse 14 of 1 Timothy chapter 2, which is the biggie, why she cannot teach is because in Genesis chapter 3, the woman was deceived. The man was not deceived. The woman was deceived. Therefore, she, after having been deceived and sinned against God, broke God's command, she became in the transgression. Man knows what he's doing. He knows he's sinning. He knew he sinned against God when he gave in to the voice of his wife. She didn't have a clue. And so God left it up to him to straighten out the situation. The deception in Genesis chapter 3 came when Satan came to the woman. This is how Satan comes to everybody. He says, what does God's word say anyway about this subject? Well, you know, God says, and we quote the verse, and he goes, you got to be kidding. Do you really think God's word means that? You know, culture, in our culture, we don't buy that, you know. That was back in Paul's day. We know better today. We have better equality today. So we want to take those gifted women and let them teach the scriptures. I told you last week, and I'm going to tell you again, I've been in ministry for 47 years. I've read the books of and listened to the messages of all the major women teachers during that 47-year period. Even though they have said phrases and sentences that are true, the overall teaching and presentation from the Word of God is false. It all appeals to the emotion. It all appeals to the sympathy of the human nature. Even the teaching on the gifts of the Spirit, which is strictly personal, emotional, and sympathetic. It's not what the scriptures teach. So we have decided that our society has gone beyond Paul's society. We're better at recognizing women and their roles. And the Bible does say, in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul does say, man and woman are equal in the Lord. It's just that men and women have different functions, but they're equal. And the way God made woman was for a certain path, and the way God made a man is for a certain path. I don't know where Caitlyn Jenner fits into that. He seems to be going his own path, or her own path. Maybe he goes one way and she goes, I don't know. But that's the way our society is. That's what our society has come. And pretty soon, right now, gender bias is springing up. You know, there is a lawsuit in Montana. A polygamist group is suing that if like sexes, genders can marry, they want polygamists to be able to marry because they want equal rights. Incestual relationships between father and daughter and mother and son, they want to marry too. Pedophiles are in prison complaining because they love the children and the children love them. Why can't they express their love equally? See where this thing's going. And the gender bias, you cannot make a distinction between male and female. I say all this because all of this is seeping into the church. Right now, the church is up against the wall, and everybody's looking to say, what are you going to do? The Supreme Court said this. Are you going to stand by the Word of God, or are you going to give in to the Supreme Court? Gender discrimination is seeping into the church. You cannot make a distinction between a man and a woman. Therefore, all of these scriptures will mean nothing. So 2 weeks ago, we studied what we're going to study today as far as principle goes in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. 2 weeks ago, we studied the word submission itself, and it means to be in an orderly arrangement. And if you have the supplement, the handout from today, again, you have in the back of the supplement, you have a description, an example of the military term submission. That's from a military term that means to be in an orderly arrangement with one another. In these diagrams, the top left dot represents Christ, and all relationships line up with him. Now, 2 weeks ago, we talked about the first verse of this text, along with Romans chapter 13, where Paul says, same word, submit to the government authorities. But in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 5, when the disciples were commanded not to preach anymore in the name of Jesus Christ, they said, we must obey God rather than man. That's represented in your handout of God's order. The first handout, submission chart 1, are believers. Christ with a believing man, believing woman, and then children to her. In your second chart, you have when a woman is married to a non-believing man. Notice he's out of order and out of line in the chart. She is to stay in order, but at the same time, follow and be submissive to Jesus Christ. That's called submission. I should let you know right now, the word submission does not mean whatever he tells you to do. That's not what it means. You're married to a non-believing husband, and he tells you, and as I've told you before, there was a woman in Goleta whose family was strapped for cash, and so he told her to go out and be a prostitute at night and earn money for the family. She was a Christian. And she asked a whole bunch of people, well, the Bible says I'm supposed to submit to my husband. He's telling me to go out and sin. What do I do? I mean, there were people that actually said, well, the Bible says you're to submit, so you go do it and just trust the Lord. He's going to deliver you out of it. The word submission does not mean do everything you're told to do, especially when you're dealing with a non-believer. The person is still lined up with Christ. If the non-believer says you can no longer be a Christian, you cannot follow Jesus Christ, then we're in the text that we're in today in 1 Peter chapter 3, where there's a woman married to a non-believing husband. Now, realize that Peter's written to the diaspora, the Jews who have been spread outside of Jerusalem because of persecution. And so, when you have a believing wife, you have a wife that is Jewish and she believes in Jesus as Messiah, but her husband doesn't. He's still in the old school following the law. He's not persuaded by the word. This is in the part in 1 Peter, beginning back in chapter 2, verse 11. After he talked about salvation, he says, there is a submission process after you're saved. The submission process began back at the end of chapter 2 where he says that we are to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. That slaves are to be in submission to their masters. And everybody is to be in submission to one another. But then in chapter 3, verse 1, it picks up from the end of chapter 2 by saying, likewise, yeah, kind of put it together. Likewise, wives, by submitting yourselves to your own husbands. So that's a present participle. Explaining what it means to abstain from fleshly desires and to be in submission to one another. Wives, you are to be in God's submission system by submitting yourselves to your own husbands. Again, the emphasis is to your own, not to somebody else's. The purpose? In order that even if any are being disobedient, that's the husbands, present tense. The word obedience means to trust in the persuasion. A disobedient person is someone who refuses the persuasion of the ministry of the Spirit of God. But if there's those who are being disobedient, those who are continually refusing to be persuaded by the truth of Christ, are being disobedient to the Word, the truth of God's Word, through the behavior of the wives, and the word for behavior means complete lifestyle. Not just acting like a Christian in order to impress the husband. Through the behavior of the wives, without a word, no definite articles showing that this is speech. She's not to nag him. She's not to preach at him. But rather, it is her behavior. It's her lifestyle. It's her manner of life that they may be gained. Subjunctive mood showing the possibility. So her ministry is, and as the chart shows, this chart number 2 shows that if the husband is not in order, he's not saved, he's not submitted to Christ, she doesn't move up to take his place as head of the family. She stays in her place, but she stays lined up with the Lord in order to influence the husband that he possibly might be won or gained to Christ. But it's by her lifestyle, it's by her devotion, as we will see, to Christ. Verse 2, after having observed your pure behavior in fear. So, they might be gained after observing your lifestyle, your walk with the Lord. But it says your pure behavior in fear. The term in fear is in the attributive position. It doesn't show that in the literal translation, which means that her behavior is in fear to the Lord, not to her husband. He sees her respecting, reverencing, and fearing the Lord in her life, in her lifestyle, and that impresses him, that influences him to possibly be gained. Verse 3, of whom, that is this woman in her lifestyle, let it not be the outward of braiding of hair, and we saw this last week in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He's not talking about the fact that women can't have hairdos and they can't wear jewelry. Again, in their public assemblies, they would put the hair up and they would wrap strings of gold in their hair so as to attract attention. Of whom let it not be the outward of the braiding of hair and of putting around gold or of putting on garments of decoration. Not just clothes, but decor that is flashy and attractive. So again, what he's saying here is, in verse 4, but let it be the hidden person of the heart. I think that's interesting that he is saying, may the emphasis be from your heart. May your non-believing husband see your heart and your heart's interaction with and relationship with the Lord. Don't let it be the outward fashion. Don't try to seduce your husband into becoming a Christian. Let him see the hidden person of the heart. Let him see the incorruption of a gentle and quiet spirit. The word gentle means to be open and receptive. The word quiet, as we saw in our text from 1 Timothy 2 last week, about women learning in all silence or quietness, it doesn't mean don't talk. But rather it means a quiet disposition. Women are not to teach in the church, but they're to learn with a quiet spirit, a peaceful spirit, accepting God's order, and not be all uptight and stressed out because you don't like it. So let him see this pure life that you live. Let him see your heart that has the incorruption of the gentle and quiet spirit, which is before God of great value. For in this way once also the holy women, the ones hoping upon God, were arranging themselves by submitting themselves to their own husbands. This has been God's way even back in Abraham's day. Just as Sarah obeyed Abraham, Genesis chapter 18. As Sarah obeyed, different word than submission. It means she put her hearing under. Sarah obeyed Abraham by calling him Lord. Now, Lord is the word used in the Greek. It is also a word of respect, can be translated sir. So she called him sir. We actually had, many, many years ago, a family in this church where we covered this text, and when the man went home, he told his wife, "From now on, you call me Lord." Their family didn't last very long. She was gone, took the kids, was gone, he was gone. He was flabbergasted. I said, "Well, that's not what this text is for." Of course, the comeback to that, which she didn't know, the comeback to that is, if you were Abraham, I would call you Lord, but you're not Abraham. But Sarah called him a term of respect because he was God's vessel, and she put her hearing under her husband, of whom you became children, same line of women as Sarah, of whom you became children by doing good. Again, the word good is agathos, doing the good that's good in the sight of the Lord, the spiritual good. And by not fearing, now I've translated this exactly, it gets a little choppy in here, but it emphasizes something very important. And by not fearing, not any one intimidation. She is not to be intimidated by her non-believing husband. He might get mad. He might tell her she can't be a Christian. She might tell him, "You've got to stop following Christ." She is to not fear being intimidated. She is to continue to follow Christ in an orderly fashion, in a gentle and quiet spirit. The reason why he would get angry is because he's seen how real this life with Christ is. Now, can you imagine the stress and the tension in that family if the woman and man are Jewish and the woman has received Jesus as her Messiah and the man has rejected Christ as Messiah and he's following the old ways of Judaism and the Old Testament law? You see, there's a lot of conflict there. So Peter is telling the believing wives to be in submission to your husbands. That means be in an orderly arrangement, to those non-believing husbands. The same principle as being in an orderly arrangement with a non-believing government. Follow the rules and be in submission, but when they step in and cause you to sin or cause you to not follow and be obedient to God's word, you must say, I must obey God rather than man. This is not slavery. This is God's order. You also have to understand that the text in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 deals with both Jews and Gentiles, but mostly Gentiles who have found themselves one member of the household receiving Christ and the other one still a pagan, heathen, unbeliever. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning at verse 13, and Paul dealt with a believing husband and a non-believing wife and a non-believing husband and a believing wife. So he used both relationship examples together. But he said in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13, that if any of you are married to a non-believer, specifically, that section is talking to a woman. If you are married to a non-believing husband and that non-believing husband desires to still live with you while you're a Christian and follow Christ, then know this, that the non-believer is sanctified, that is under the protection of the Lord, receiving all the blessings of the household because of her belief. But he goes on to say, but if he wants to leave, and then he gives a command, let him leave. That the believer is not in bondage in such cases. He says the same thing with the man. You follow the Lord. Be in submission. Be in an orderly arrangement. Don't be feisty. Don't be rebellious. In other words, let that non-believer in your household be your ministry. And let it be the hidden person of the heart, not your arguing or quoting scriptures. If they ask about scriptures, fine, but don't be trying to win them over with your speech. Win them over as they observe your continuous everyday lifestyle and your walk with the Lord, as they see this living relationship with Christ. They have to be convicted. They have to see that there's something more than keeping the law, and that Messiah is raised from the dead, because the non-believer will see the risen Savior living in the life of the believer. And that will be the ministry. Back to 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 7, which is our transition verse, as next week we talk about the husbands. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, the submission of husbands to wives, he says, the husbands likewise. That is, just as the wives are in submission, so the husbands are too, dwelling together according to knowledge. Now here's the knowledge that some people seemingly don't have, or they think that Christians don't have. As with a weaker vessel, that is the feminine one, physically weaker, not talking about intelligence, not talking about spiritual, talking about being the weaker vessel, bestowing honor to him as also co-heirs or co-inheritors of the grace of life. Equal. There were many places in Peter and Paul's day where they did not believe a woman could be saved. And just as the Jews were shocked that the Gentiles could be saved in that society because of their view of women, when women were saved, they had to be told, they're just as equal. They have the same salvation as you do. They have just as much as of the Holy Spirit as you do. They are co-inheritors, co-heirs of the grace of life. And husbands who have believing wives, You are to function with your wife as a co-inheritor of the grace of life, equal to the grace of life. One is not superior to the other. And you must function in that knowledge. Because just as in the Old Testament, so in the New, God takes up the plight of the women and the children and the poor and the afflicted and the persecuted. God comes to their aid because the text says, do this for your prayers not to be cut off. English says hindered, and that's what it means, cut off. But in the Greek text, it is a purpose clause, ace with the accusative, those of you following along in the Greek text. You are to do this for the purpose that your prayers not be cut off. In other words, if the believing man, the believing husband is oppressing the believing wife and not treating her as a co-inheritor of the grace of life, then God will not hear his prayers. You pray all you want to. God says, I'm not going to hear. I'm not going to listen. And when you're talking with Gentiles, that's one thing, but when you're talking to Jews who are very religious in their practice, and to be told all your prayers are going for nothing because God's not listening, you're cut off. It's true for every believing Christian man. As we seek the Lord, we will be cut off. Our prayers will not be heard. Our prayers will not be received because of the way we treat those who are under our headship and under our leadership. And with that, we transition into husbands, love your wives. Colossians 3:19 next week. There are some specifics as to what that means. But the first item that Paul and the others have dealt with is wives, be continually submitting to your own husbands, because this is part of God's system in God's kingdom. Not the world culture, but God's culture. This is how God functions. Not because one is better than the other, but because of the sin problem. With each male and female, the sin nature has different problems. And this is how God says the order has to be, because of sin. So for those of you, whether you're single or married or whatever your case may be, just as Joshua says, this day whom you're going to choose, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will have the Lord's order in our house. It's not an order of superiority or inferiority, but equal. Salvation is equal to all. There are just different functions. Just like when we go to work, or we go to school, or wherever we go, and wherever we do, there's an orderly function. Somebody's got to be in charge. You might not like the person who's in charge. You might think the person in charge doesn't know what they're doing. I always found myself becoming a self-employed worker because the person I had to work for didn't know what they were doing, and I earned less than half what I could just working by myself. But whoever that person is, whatever that person is, there's always an owner, there's always a supervisor, there's always a foreman, there's always somebody who's in charge that we have to be in an orderly relationship with. We have to function with in that order. It's in all of society. It's just that God's order is more specific. God's order is different than the world's order. And that's what we as believers, we have to realize, is that we're just not Christians where God pulls us out like catching a fish out of the sea, cleaning it up and throw it back in the ocean again. When God saves us, he pulls us out of the world, but he puts us into his own kingdom and his own order. It's not back in pagan society in the pagan world. Physically, yes, we're still here. But spiritually, we're saved and placed into a kingdom and an order that's different than the world's. And that's what we learn from Scripture, what that kingdom is and how that kingdom functions and why. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. So easy, as so many have in the past, and especially in our society, have approached this subject legalistically and have abused the presentation of the truth of the text about being in an orderly relationship with one another. In submission, yes. Submitting to Christ and his order for a reason. But also maintaining, especially with non-believers, we must obey God rather than man. This is a relationship with Jesus Christ, not a religious order. This is not a religious practice where human beings submit to other human beings. This is your order and your way, in spite of who the human beings are. This is your way and your order for your purposes. In order for our lives to function in its fullness, as we studied the first hour from Isaiah 58, that full life of springs of water and light dawning in the darkness and at high noon in the gloom, so our relationship with you will be healthy and sound, that our prayers would not be hindered, and that our lives would be for the glory of Jesus Christ. For it's in Ephesians chapter 5 that Paul says that God created marriage between a man and a woman to be a testimony of Christ and the church. Help us to see that each one of our relationships with our families is a church, the bride of Christ and Christ himself. We pray by your Spirit you would help us to understand these things. Help us to see that the truth does set us free. Free to live a life of fullness in the Spirit, a life that honors and glorifies Jesus Christ, and a life that has influence and effect and purpose to other people's lives. And that can only come when we're in proper order. Help us to see and understand these things, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.